Well, how you doing, Pete?
Good. Hey, how was your week?
Oh, it was great. Yeah. I took the whole family to see Shazam.
Oh,
this
nice. Yeah, it's a family movie.
Yes.
Yeah. A couple people. Yeah.
All right. A couple people. Total family movie that traumatized my whole family.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was great.
Like, how bad? Like, your kids couldn't sleep?
No, they could sleep.
Did they run away screaming?
No, but we've had these very careful conversations every morning at breakfast where we're sitting there quietly and I'm sipping my coffee and they're like, so that scene in Shazam, and this is days later at this point.
Yeah.
I've never seen them. Usually they're like, ha, that was funny in that Trolls movie when that happened. But if you guys haven't seen it, it opens, mild spoilers, I guess, but it opens with a scene of a car crash involving a kid. Very long, very traumatizing.
Yep.
His father is riding bloody on the ground.
His father was a complete dick to him the whole time.
His father is Lex Luthor's dad from Smallville.
Yeah.
John Glover, very exciting. You get to watch him dying on the ground in the snow. It's very cool for kids.
Yeah.
And then the second scene is a kid getting abandoned at a carnival over an extended sequence. And then it kind of warms up from there.
Yeah.
But then later you get these monsters who are biting people's heads off and stuff.
Yeah, at a board meeting.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Very family friendly.
That's the thing.
Plus Santa swears.
Here's the thing. I don't want my kids to see board meetings. They're not old enough, you know?
Yeah,
later.
Exactly.
See them later.
Later, yeah.
One piece of business we can mention up top. This is a fun little announcement. We're going to be hosting with Justin when he gets back from Portugal a screening of The Boys.
Mm-hmm.
The new TV show on Prime Video. I believe they're going to be showing off the first two episodes. Don't hold me to that. But it's absolutely free, happening on May 2nd. So if you're in New York and want to come see it, we have links on our Twitter and on our Facebook. You can check out for more info.
And our Patreon.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, on our Slack.
In our Slack, yeah.
Right, not our Patreon.com.
Yeah, not that, no.
Yeah, you can also check out information at TuneIn.com. And Google.com.
I see what you're doing now.
Yeah, we're just mentioning websites.
You're just being an asshole.
Yes,
hey, we should bring out our guest since you're being an asshole.
We should. I'm very excited about our guest. He is the editor of the book, I Am Hexed. Ladies and gentlemen, James Ebbett.
Woohoo! James, welcome.
Right.
Welcome. Grab a seat, grab a microphone.
Hello.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming back to the show.
Thank you for having me. I thought, you know, the first would be enough.
Yeah,
one time
and done, but yeah. We forced you into it.
No, the other way around.
Oh, yeah, okay. All right, there we go.
You know.
Well, I'm Hexed. You got some exciting news. You did the first issue successfully on Kickstarter. Second issue is now on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
But before we get to that, for those who don't know what I Am Hexed is, I know everybody listened to the classic episode.
Yeah, they should
on.
Know.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Everybody's boned up. But let's just imagine, for the sake of argument, that people haven't. What is the concept of I Am Hexed?
So the concept of I Am Hexed is witches in modern-day political setting fighting for their civil rights, basically. And we follow our main character, Charlie, as she gets embroiled in some rather interesting happenstance. And she has to figure out why she's now the most wanted witch in D.C. So she's on the run, and
oh,
she
you just
meets
dropped
up with
the word witch in there.
Yeah, so she's twist. She meets up with her girlfriend, her ex-girlfriend, and she's helping her and her friend Florence. So it's really exciting. It's a really awesome, action-packed witchy adventure series, which
nice.
Is really fun.
Yeah.
Witch.
So since you successfully went through the first issue, and I have to imagine most of that was due to your appearance on Comic Book Club, which is fine.
Right.
What did you learn from releasing that first issue going into the second issue? What lessons did you apply? What did you do wrong? What do you think you did right? What
right.
Did you apply?
I mean, get lots of blackmail on people.
Sure.
I figured that was the first step. No, I mean, we figured out how to really, I think we were fortunate because I think we're hitting on an area that is so present in our society, in our world today, where we're kind of all dealing with politics and the civil rights issues, and they're all coming kind of back up, and there's just such a great parallel between the witches in the story and the civil rights and equal rights that they're looking for. So I think we managed to tap into something that just gathered a really strong audience behind it that related to what was going on in the book. and they came back. So we're actually doing very well. On the second issue, we have 7,000 so far. We're looking for 10.
Cool. Oh, nice.
So we're almost there.
And you have 21 days left.
We have 21 days left. The momentum is really great. So if you want to check it out, it's at imhexed.com, and it'll redirect you right to the Kickstarter.
Awesome. Well, so let me ask you this, and I hope this doesn't come off the wrong way, but oftentimes I think with these sort of Kickstarter projects, you have the first issue gets the Kickstarter, and then after that, you're just publishing it. You're not going back to the crowdfunding platform. Why go back for the second issue?
We didn't have a publisher. No. I think, the honest answer is that we found such a good, strong audience there, and we wanted to keep offering additional assets and content and stuff that people really gravitated towards. We managed to work with people, artists who are well-known and not well-known in sort of a rainbow, which is great. We have like the nice representation of different artists in the LGBT community, primarily women, which is really important to me, bringing people on. Kirsten Thompson is our writer. She would be here, but she's in Seattle. So it's a long trip. That's a long trip.
Make the time, Kirsten.
Yeah.
Oh, so, come on, man.
No, come on.
Dude, come on. Look at this, Kirsten. Come
it's
on,
not, it's not Portugal, busy. But it's yeah, far.
Yeah. Yes.
She's really psyched and very excited, and we all are, with the talent that we have for the second issue, which I can rattle off names for you guys.
Go for it.
Shout
them out.
Kirsten Thompson is the writer of I Am Hexed, who's fantastic. She's really, really great. Christiane Goudreau has come back to do interiors. We have Taylor Esposito lettering. We have Paulina Ganusho doing our cover for issue 2, and she's great. You may be familiar with her work. She's done Marvel. She's done a lot of different books. We have Becca Farrow doing a variant cover. Little Corvus, who did the cover the first time, has come back, and they've done a print for us, which is beautiful and very fashion-y. And we have Mildred Lewis, who's known for a webcomic called Agents of the Realm. And then we have an artist named Elaine Grace, who's done a lot of work for Lion Forage and things. So she's really, really fabulous. I mean, they're all just great talent to work with and really, really supportive of the message of the book and the story that we're telling.
One of the big aspects of Kickstarter is rewards. Were there any rewards from the first time where you're like, well, that didn't work, don't do that for the second time, or vice versa?
I mean, we were fortunate enough that I think we figured out how much we needed for each thing. We were pretty good with the pricing. So, I mean, some stuff just, we had to order more, so we have surplus of things. So that's
it's not a bad problem to have.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Swag and I'm doing FlameCon in August. So I'll be there. Yeah. Got a table. I'm all excited. I'm very. I'll be representing. I'm Hex, so I'll be there. Nice. Maybe alone, but but I'll have issue 1 and a lot of additional swag that's left over from the first issue campaign because we had a sort of prepping for issue 2 launch and for any shows or anything else that might come up. So we did well. We were planners. We planned it well.
This is definitely putting the cart before the horse, but since it seems like, knock on wood, you're going to be successful with issue 2, do you have plans beyond that at this point?
Oh, yeah. So the full story is 4 issues. So the plan is to do everyone on Kickstarter, hopefully gathering that audience and having them come back. And I feel like if they've come back for issue 2, they'll want to see how the story wraps up, hopefully.
They won't be like, well, 50% done. I'm good.
That's always the fear, though. Like, launching this one, I was like, what if nobody wants to, what if nobody comes back? And then we were really fortunate. I mean, we sent out, this early, thing to subscribers and stuff, before the official launch date, and we made, close to $4,000 in a day. And I was guess people still like this.
That's such a crazy thing about comics, though, right? You wouldn't expect people to be like, well, I'm going in for the first half hour of this 2-hour movie and then I'm out of here.
Yeah.
But people do that. They check out the first issue and they're like, well, I'm done.
Well, it's so the mentality nowadays, I think, that people are like, well, let me check it out. and I'll come back around when it's a trade.
Right. Yeah.
So that's where people are kind of coming back.
Gotcha.
I mean, for us, we don't have that guarantee of there being a trade. So this might be it. So get it now. No, I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. But no, I think that's true of a lot of mainstream books because you see that drop off, but like people still are purchasing trades. So it's sort of an interesting dichotomy. You have to figure out what's going on.
Right. Well, I mean, is your experience, and I know this is relatively limited experience, but it almost feels like it could be the opposite with something like this, where you are building more of a brand loyalty because people are making the choice to go to a Kickstarter and pledge a Kickstarter and saying, I have enough faith in this project that I'm going to get it a month from now or 2 months from now or whenever it's going to be released.
Yeah.
It's almost the way that comic book shops order books in a way, right? Mm-hmm.
Right. So I think, yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, like, yeah, you have to put in, I always try to give, like, the furthest out date because I try to be very realistic. I'm like, September, it's fine. It's going
September
to come
September 2029.
Yeah, exactly. No. But, you know, I try to be as realistic as possible and give the artist as much time to do her best work because Christiane's fantastic, but, you know, we're not making her do work without getting paid.
Nice.
So that's... Yeah. You know, that's just the deal. And I think that a lot of times you come across Kickstarters and I'm like, how are you doing such a low amount? Because how are you paying these people any money? So that's, I mean, for me, as I started off my career, as a freelance illustrator.
That's right. You can, say career.
It's
career.
Yeah.
Own it.
It's career-ish. It's career-esque. But that's, I mean, I started off as a freelancer and doing illustration and stuff. And knowing your value and making that known is so important. And I think you have to have that in place because you don't want to lower the rates of everyone else. And that's what I was always told. Like, you had to be very cognizant of what you're doing in business and work. And that's just the boring side of production stuff. But
yeah. But do you have, are there any other projects you're working on at the moment?
Not at the moment that I can really talk about, unfortunately. Okay. Like, I'm still at 451, like, I'm the editor there, so, but we're working on a lot of, like, things behind the scenes and nothing that we can, like, officially talk about yet. You know, I'm, like, in that, like, oh, it's really cool, we're working on this thing. There's a lot of, like, cool sci-fi, horror stuff that we're, working on, so it's gonna, I hope, kind of come soon.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead, please.
But I know we were talking about the second issue, but in case somebody's, you know, kind of tuning in and don't know the whole kind of thing, like, I love your message, and what's great is people in the audience are going to get some swag and a copy of the comic book. Equality is Magic is a fantastic branding, and when you guys were kind of talking about this, was this something that, like, Equality and Magic, that's kind of a nice and has kind of maybe a witch theme? Or were you guys, like, growing up, did you like witches? Or, like, how did it kind of all kind of come together, if you don't mind?
I mean, this is all... I mean, a lot of this is from Kirsten Thompson, who's the writer. But my co-conspirator, Jess Gentile, and I just fell in love with the story and fell in love with the messaging of it. And we're trying to come up with cool branding and slogans and things that we thought people would, like, have on protest signs and stuff like that for when people are going, we're in the middle of what we're in the middle of, and trying to be really PC about it. But so we're trying to think of all these protest signs and great messages and things like that. And Equality is Magic just made so much sense that we were relating it to LGBT issues. Magic was, of course, part of the world, and we were launching in June. So it just all was sort of kismet. I mean, we're live now for issue two, guys, live now. But the first issue was in June, so we were like, okay, great. All of this is really working out well. We did a lot of rainbow themes and a lot of LGBT positive messaging because that's, you know, the world that we wanted to exist in.
Cool.
That was it.
And just to loop back to it, I know this isn't necessarily your thing that you're arranging, but for those who don't know what FlameCon is, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
No.
All right, that's weird and aggressive, but
they're doing
right.
Just fine on their own. No, FlameCon. FlameCon is a really cool LGBT-friendly comic book convention that started 4 years ago, 5 years ago,
yeah,
in Brooklyn.
So.
And it used to be really convenient for me. I'm in Brooklyn, and I used to be able to walk there in 15 minutes, and now they moved to Times Square. So, okay.
Oh, rude.
I know, really. They didn't think about me when they did that. I'm insulted. But, no, it's such an inclusive, friendly, awesome comic book convention, which highlights a lot of queer talent, and it's such a nice opportunity to really get to meet these people who you don't necessarily get to see at every convention because they're not as perhaps as commercially successful, but their work is so beautiful and now getting found and becoming the cool. next thing.
Cool. So you can check out I Am Hexed online. What was the website again?
IamHexed.com.
That's pretty easy.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be at FlameCon. When is that happening?
August.
Okay. I definitely remember the information you just told me. I'm having a good retention rate today.
No, I'm horrible at dates, so it's August.
Yeah, just August. August 2029.
Yeah. No,
much earlier than that. All right, definitely check all of that out, and we're gonna skip past our regular
skipping
section.
Skipping past stuff.
I'm too excited, Pete. We're gonna go to our next section, which is my favorite section, because you guys mentioned make it up. It's your audience question.
Yeah.
Woo! Pete and I didn't have any print comic books today. Okay, yeah. Going over to you guys. If you got a question, raise your hand. You, sir. Wow, fast hand up. There's a little bit of a short mic. Hold on one second. Here we go. Going to flip this over here. Nice. What's your name? What's your question?
I'm John. I believe it was, is it Jim's Up?
Jim's Up, yeah.
Yeah, and I asked him, he did a comic that kind of paralleled school shootings.
Yep.
And obviously, you've got LGBTQ plus equality. Do you think there's any issue that's too complex for a comic book?
Oh, interesting.
And conversely, much like X-Men, race, I Am Hexed, LGBTQ issues, do you think there's any issues that are easier to tell in comic books?
Oh, interesting.
Too complex. Yeah. I like to think that there's not. I mean, for me, because I think... art is so interesting too, because I think that for so long, X-Men in particular, that's a good example. They did such a parallel to things, civil rights, LGBT rights, et cetera, but now it's sort of become less of a parallel and kind of a direct commentary because there are people in that community that are in those books. So I like to think that there's not a piece that we can at least start a conversation with through comics and have that be something that's beautifully illustrated through sequential storytelling. I think it's a really impressive medium.
Yeah, I think that's one of the great things about comics is the storytelling possibilities, all the different kind of ways that you can kind of tell something that maybe is hard or painful or whatever for certain people. You know, I mean, you think of books like Too Cool to Be Forgotten, where it's somebody dealing with the death of their father. You know, there's all these like creative ways that you can kind of deal with, you know, things, whether it's maybe from a kid's perspective or whatever, where like the mind or however people like to kind of deal with it, especially in the beginning, can be very creative and very, you know, the paneling on the art can change. So it's just... It's nice to know that there is this kind of medium that, like, hey, let's take a difficult issue and let's find a way to kind of tackle it that maybe other people can relate to, or as something that, like, maybe we've put it in comic books. It's not as, like, real or powerful somebody that they might kind of trigger them, but it's kind of done in a way that can start a conversation or can let somebody know they're not alone or let somebody relate to something that maybe they've gone through or a friend or whatever. So, I mean, for me, when I was a kid, comic books were this thing that felt like was just for me, like this thing that is very personal and like you pick comic books that you want to read, that you feel connected to. So it is pretty magical and it's nice to know that like, we're still trying to do that and still finding new ways to do that. So it's great. And thank you for stuff like that out there.
I think it depends on how it's handled, right? With anything, with any sort of issue. Comics can be very blunt. I brought this up a lot on the show, but there's the North Star coming out issue of Alpha Flight that was like very awkwardly done back in the day. That was not particularly great. But then you have people who learned the lesson from that and treated it in a much better sense.
Right.
One thing that I would never in a million years think would work is tackling 9/11 in a comic book, for example. But there's a book that I know I've also brought up on the show a bunch by Rick Veitch called Can't Get No, that it takes place with a guy who is supposed to go to work at the World Trade Center on 9/11, gets there a little late, watches it happen, and goes on this journey of the soul. But the way that the story is told, the words are all poetry. All of the dialogue that's coming out isn't people saying things. It's poetry. So you're reading the plot of the story through the images, but getting the images through the words, if that makes sense. So that's something that really works for that. Something that I think comics has almost uniformly done badly, though, which isn't exactly an issue, is comics, like talking about issues with the comic book industry, because it always ends up being very navel-gazing and self-reflexive and very blunt. But it wasn't exactly this, but there was a recent arc on Criminal, the past two issues, that was set at a comic convention, and it followed an old-timer going back to a comic convention, and there were little things seeded throughout there about how the industry does not support people into old age, what you have to do. It's, you know, filtered through a noir story, so it's still fun and it's still gritty, but that stuff is omnipresent there. And again, I think it's a big issue for the comic book industry, but it works there because they figured out how to make it a good, interesting story at the same time. So I don't know. That's my take on it.
Cool.
Great question. Yeah, you're going to get some free comics, including I Am Hex. You already did. Okay. You, sir, right there. I saw your hand. Yes, you shoot up second. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, I'm Jesus. I know you're focusing 100% on I Am Hex and getting that done, but after that's done, do you have any ideas for any other books you would like to kickstart in the future?
Actually, it's like all stuff I can't talk about. I mean, I love Kickstarter as a way to get an audience started or even an audience interested in a book, and I think it's such a great resource and site, and the people there are awesome. So there's a project in particular that I have in mind, and I'm trying to draw the writer in to work with me on it. so hopefully she'll be game for that. It's another woman, so I can drop that much. And we've talked about it, so we'll see.
Now, I like the way you worded that. You were kind of like, I'm trying to draw this writer in.
Magically. Now,
as somebody who like approaches people for kind of projects, is there it seems like maybe there's an art form to it, right? Like you can't just be like, hey, what's up? I'm doing this thing. We need you. You know what I mean? Like, do you approach different people differently? Like, how do you kind of like go about like, this would be my dream person? Like, you know, how do you kind of do that?
I mean, a lot of the time, because I've been at 451, we get pitches from people, and sometimes it's people that I've dreamt of working with or have met before, and it's been like crazy. So that's mind-boggling to me. And some of them we've worked with, and then some of them have been like, well, we're not doing that right now, but you know, and then we stay in touch with them, and then there's one that we've met with and that I'm trying to figure out how to work with her. That's the one I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
So it's a little bit of like, yeah, if you're really interested in a project with someone, hopefully they'll want to work with you too. That's the goal, basically.
Okay.
And the nice way of reaching out to people blindly is hard. I haven't actually had to do that much. I've met a lot of people through comic book conventions. I think that's a really nice, positive way of meeting people. And unless they're exhausted, which is also par for the course.
Yeah.
I'm sure to get them on the fourth day.
Yeah.
Just to really.
So you can really convince them of something because they're like, sure,
yeah, they're fine. In a weakened
whatever,
state.
Whatever you want to do, I don't really care.
They have no idea what's coming. They're really tired. They're wiped out.
That's the best way to approach a creative project. Yeah, is hungover and tired. You, sir, saw your hand. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Kevin.
Hey, Kevin.
Okay, first, and don't say it out loud, just picture in your mind your favorite non-comic book movie.
Non-comic movie.
Now, take the cast of that movie. What comic book adaptation would they fit best in? And you can move them through time if necessary.
Wow. This is a really that was a journey he took us on. That was a, yeah. was a real Jesus. Journey.
How bad.
That he took us on.
I don't know. I feel high right now.
Well, let's start with what was your cast?
What was my cast? Yeah. I mean, I feel slightly tricked, to be honest with you.
Okay,
because
cool.
I'm like, well, now I'm trapped into thinking about this. I was thinking Princess Bride. I don't know if
that's right. Get out of here. No.
Also Princess Bride.
Whoa! Stop it. Yes.
You guys. Right.
This can make it easier because we could team up on this.
I know.
Okay, so Princess Bride, what, superhero movie or just comic book? Comic book movie. So what did you have an idea for?
I thought maybe Carrie Elves as Green Arrow and then.
Okay. Because he was in Robin Hood Men in Tights?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
I don't know. Just
yeah, and then Robin Wright Penn as.
And I thought she could be a pretty. I mean, after seeing her in Wonder Woman, I think she could be a pretty badass Black Canary. So
yeah, all right, that
put
works.
That in there. Great.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just the rest of them.
Yeah, and then all of the other Green Arrow characters.
Yeah,
I know exactly. That's where I fell short. I haven't cast everyone else yet.
Yeah, man, it would be so great, though. I would love to see, like, a live adaptation of the Green Arrow comic books. That would be awesome if they did that someday. Right, Pete?
Fuck you.
Oh, no.
Wait, what do you mean?
Arrow is an amazing
I don't know what
TV
you're
show.
Talking about. We're going to run out of time. Yeah. Pete, what... What was your movie?
Well, Tommy Boy, obviously. So the cast of Tommy Boy.
oh, no.
Yeah. And then I was trying to think of like maybe a fun Incredibles movie with those guys where they were doing the voices. You
so
know.
What is it? It's Chris Farley and David Spade?
Yep.
Okay. Anybody else in that movie?
Yeah. There was other people in that movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Are there? Well, what are some of the other actors?
Well, there's, you know... Tommy's father, you know, and then the evil mother and what's his face who was in like Parks and Rec for a while. Yeah, Rob Lowe. Thank
Rob
you.
Rob Lowe's in it?
Yeah.
Okay. Rob Lowe is in... he was.
Is he a bad guy?
He's the bad brother. Yeah.
Bad brother.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, how about this? This is not knowing Tommy Boy as well as you, who was able to rattle off the entire cast at the drop of a hat. What about Fantastic Four? Chris Farley is the Thing. David Spade is Mr. Fantastic. Rob Lowe is Dr. Doom.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah. Interesting.
David Spade would play who?
Mr. Fantastic. Yeah,
oh, Johnny Storm. He could be Johnny Storm. Rob Lowe could be Mr. Fantastic.
Oh, that's better.
If
that's
we switch better. His alignment.
Yeah, that's better.
Who's the
I almost feel like Dr. Doom. David Spade should be Dr. Doom.
David Spade is Dr. Doom?
Yeah.
I never want to see that in my lifetime. How do you make a Fantastic Four movie worse? David Spade is Dr. Doom.
Julian McMahon.
That would be kind of awesome.
Playing it out then.
Yeah. Were there any women in Tommy Boy?
Yeah, there were.
Like who?
His love interest, his girlfriend was...
Who's played by...
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you watch this movie on a loop.
Yep.
You don't know what anybody's names are?
Yeah, I don't. You know, sometimes you learn people's names, other times you don't. You know? I don't know what to tell you.
That's true.
That's a great point.
Yeah, yeah.
Great point. That's a really cool thought experiment.
I like that.
I think we have another question back there. You, sir, if you could come on down. What is your name? What's your question?
My name is Andrew. And my question is, with Endgame coming out this week, what is your stance on the Ant-Man Thanos plot point? And would you ship it if you could?
Sure. For those who don't know, the theory is that Ant-Man could stop Thanos by crawling up his butt and then expanding until Thanos exploded.
Sounds like my Friday night, honey. Woo! Nailed it. Thank you. Do I drop the mic?
Yeah, that's it for you on the show. You're out of here.
Yeah, that was amazing.
yes.
That was really awesome. That was really funny.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
No, that was amazing.
Don't you dare.
Never apologize for anything ever.
I was kind of proud of it.
What do you guys think? Is that how Endgame is going to end?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, it's funny that somebody thought about this and it's lived on this long.
Can I throw you my Endgame theory? It's not the Thanos theory.
Well, you know stuff about you. No, actually, you know, so don't fucking ruin it. I will punch you in the face.
My theory is there was an article that was posted, I think it was on Mashable today, which people have talked about for a while, but that Captain America is actually a virgin because there's been no movies where he's actually completed a relationship. He always kisses people and then like has to go save the world. So maybe he's a virgin. So my thought is the plot, they've been keeping the secret, the plot is they want to lose Captain America's virginity by graduation. That's it. And that's the end game. They're like, our end game is you're going to lose your virginity.
He spent a lot of time with Winter Soldier.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. I think the end of the movie, the last shot of the movie, is he's going to turn to the camera and go, oh, fondue. And then there's going to be a circle that closes around him. Honey, I Shrunk the Kids style.
Oh, wow.
And then the circle becomes his shield.
Yeah. That's my theory. That's not about the Thetis theory, because I don't think that's going to happen. Do you think that's possible, though, Pete? Could Ant-Man crawl up Thanos' butt and make him explode?
Yeah, yes, he could. That would be awful to see that. I don't know if people want to see that on a
big screen.
I mean,
enough people are talking about it that clearly somebody wants to see it.
Yeah, don't yuck someone's yum. That's all. Just fine.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. That is very true.
Someone exploding through somebody. I don't know, man. It's kind of gross.
Yeah. No. I will say, in Guardians of the Galaxy 2, they spend a lot of time talking about how jumping inside of something and trying to destroy it from the inside is ridiculous because it's as strong on the inside as it is on the outside. So I could see Ant-Man trying that, expanding, suffocating, and then Drax being like, you know, you can't just do that. And that's like a funny callback.
It's a callback, yeah.
It's a funny callback.
Thanos would be walking around with like an Ant-Man suit inside himself.
Yeah, sort of Ant-Man's legs waggling out of his little tushy.
Weird image.
little tushy.
I don't think Thanos has a little tushy.
He's a tiny little tushy.
he's a pretty big person.
Cool. Great question.
I like whoever came up with that theory, though. That is creative. I like it a lot.
It's a good theory.
I like it.
It's not a good theory.
No, it's a good theory. It's not a good theory
it's
of
creative theory.
Creative
theory. Yeah, it's not a. I mean, it's not going to happen, you guys.
Yeah. No.
Spoilers. It's not.
Well, what do you think is going to happen? Do you guys have
Captain Marvel is going to beat the poop out of him.
Yeah.
Beat the like, not with any help from Ant-Man.
Do you think they're all going to stand around and be like, I'll crawl up his butt? No, I'll do it. I'm going to do it.
We'll draw straws.
Yeah, draw straws. And Ant-Man's like, guys, I'm right here. How do you think they're going to beat Thanos, Pete?
I don't know, man. I think that, Doctor Strange has played all the angles and he's got a plan and they're going to execute it. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Great. Yes. Correct.
Yep. That's what's good.
But how are they going to beat him?
It's going to take everybody, working together, and they're going to do it. Yep. They're going to save the day.
Oh shit! Do you think so?
Yep.
Oh man, that's
Clint
crazy.
Clint is going to put Ant-Man on his bow and arrow and just shoot him into Thanos' butt.
Yep.
Yeah. Teamwork.
And then they say teamwork, and then Captain America says, "Oh, fondue."
And then and the
What is this fondue joke you keep doing?
It's from the first Captain America. He doesn't know what fondue means. He doesn't. I hope he finally.
Is that the tiramisu? Never mind.
Wait, what are you talking about now?
No.
Explain what you're talking about.
Sleepless in Seattle. He's like, "What's tiramisu?" And he's like, "Oh, you're gonna love it. Don't worry." He thinks they're talking about sex, but it's a dessert.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a Sleepless in Seattle in
It's been a while.
A real long time.
Oh, man. Yeah. You guys should see it. It's really good.
Really? Who's in Sleepless in Seattle, Pete?
Well, there's that guy who's in a ton of stuff.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And then that girl, that woman, she's been
Meg
in a
Ryan.
Ton. Of, yeah, Meg Ryan. There you go. Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else?
Nope.
What superhero movie would they be in? Let's think.
Oh, yeah, it's Sleepless in Seattle. No, now I want to know. What superhero would Tom Hanks be? Old Captain America?
Oh, poor Tom Hanks.
He's in a movie called Big, so maybe he's Ant-Man. Maybe he's Giant Man.
Oh, yeah, he's Giant Man. Nice.
Yeah. Cypher.
Oh, shit.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah.
How dare you?
You want to take the secret Cypher challenge? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, you're just pipping it out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You do. Oh, wow. Here,
he's got to unlock it. He's got to unlock
it. It's fine. Just to explain, if this is your first time here or listening to the podcast, we always have secret quizzes here for no particular reason. Right now, we have a secret Cypher quiz running. You just need to say the phrase. Actually, I love doing this multiple times. What was it?
Cypher is the best X-Men.
Oh, that's correct. Yes, that is the secret phrase to unlock it. I hope
we actually believe that?
Don't. No, you don't have a mic. You don't have a mic anymore, Pete. I'm sorry about that. Oh, that's really weird. You can't actually talk on the mic and be an asshole about it. Okay, so here we go. The secret Cypher quiz in honor of Cypher has questions about Cypher, trivia questions, but they're all in different languages that I'm very good at pronouncing. Okay, here we go. The first question is, quel est le vrai nom de Cypher?
Douglas Ramsey?
Ooh, that's correct. Yes, the question was, what is Cypher's real name in French? Okay, here we go. Quien creó Cypher?
Wait, is this French again?
Nope. I think it's Spanish.
It just sounded French.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't have a good accent. ¿Quién creó Cypher?
And I'm completely blanking.
Ooh. Do-do-do-do-do. Yeah. Do you know what the translation is?
I know what the translation is, and I'm blanking on who created
it. Okay. Do you want to say what the translation is, or do you want to save it to trick other people?
Well, I think I just did say it. It's who created.
Oh, right. Oh, okay, there we go. Yes, it is who created Cypher. Okay. Who created Cypher? ¿Quién creó Cypher?
Have to save that.
All right. Okay. Well, we got up to the second question. Second question.
Hey, to the second question. Nice job. Quiz.
And just remember, once somebody finally does make it through the secret Cypher quiz, of course, as we have established with all of our quizzes, you'll have to complete a physical challenge.
Now, how many questions till the physical challenge?
There's a lot of them.
Really?
Yeah.
How many?
Do you want me to count them?
Yes.
Okay. Because
I only had a few and you made fun of me. You were like, that's way too many.
Yeah. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and then the physical challenge.
Wow.
We're
going to
save it for 10 questions and a physical challenge?
10 questions and then a physical challenge. But it's cumulative. They don't change every time.
Oh, okay.
Eventually, 10 weeks from now, maybe somebody will fight me in one-on-one battle.
Wow.
Oh, I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to ruin what it is. But it's pretty good. I sat down, but do we have any more questions from anybody? Any more questions about anything? No? All right. That's it for your audience questions.
Yes.
All right, guys. Now we're going to move it to another trivia quiz with Pete LePage. This is just a quiz show at this point.
Yeah, we're just doing a quiz show. This is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Because if you had $25, you go to a comic book shop. Who would like $25 free? A simple raising of the hand. Oh, man. Two hands went up at the same time. Oh, man, and you guys, I don't know. I mean, okay, all right. That was very nice of you, sir. Sir, you can come on up to take the
quiz. All right,
quiz.
Please stand over here.
What is your name, sir?
Name is Jarrett.
Jarrett? Audience Jarrett. Okay, sir, today's trivia is on topical comic news, okay? I'm going to read you a question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. $25 yours. Okay. Question number one. In the latest issue of Wonder Woman, that would be Wonder Woman number 69, they go on an Amazon road trip. Grow up, people. Grow up. Who is on the trip? It's Wonder Woman and blank. Is it A, Aphrodite, B, Giganta, or is it C, Michael Roker? So it's either A, or you could pick B.
Final answer, A.
A is correct.
Job.
Road trip with Aphrodite, that's going to be a good time. All right, here we go. A new comic from Image drops on July 3rd called Sea of Stars about a space trucker. But who writes it? Is it A, Mark Millar, B, Jason Aaron, ooh, that sounds cool, or C, Kurt Russell? So it's either A, Mark Millar, or it's B, Jason Aaron.
I'll lock in B. Jason.
B is correct. I'm very excited to read that. It sounds like a lot of fun. Speaking of July, on July 31st, we get the double-sized last issue of Paper Girls. I'm super sad. What issue is the last issue? Is it issue number 30, issue number 40, or is it C, Daddy Issues? So it's either A, if you would like $25, or you could pick something else.
That'll be A.
A is correct. 25 free dollars.
Woo!
Oh, I see people talking. Do we know what the secret quiz is? We have Michael Roker, Kurt Russell, and Daddy Issues.
Oh, my God. That's an easy one. So just to mention, there's a secret sub-quiz that Pete runs on the quiz with the third answers of his questions. Does anybody know what it is? Anybody know what it is? You, sir. Yes. What are the third answers? You're not going to win anything other than cred.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
You are correct, sir. You are correct, sir. Yes. Yes.
Good ref. You know, it's just as hard on the inside of that quiz.
It's look at you. You're already into it. I stumped you. I feel very proud of that.
Yeah. Stump Kevin is the name of that quiz.
Yes. Stump the Kev. This is that quiz.
As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they are nice enough to sponsor.
They're also
the show.
Just a great comic book shop.
It's a
wonderful
shop.
Yeah. It's just
they sponsor our show.
Yeah, they do, which is great.
Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to a couple of ones. First, Hulk Varines, number 3 of 3, comes out.
Yes.
I'm excited to see how this wraps up.
This title has been great. It's by Greg Pak, and it's taking Hulk, Wolverine, and Hulk Varine, who's half Hulk and Hulk Wolverine, pitting them all against each other. It's been super ridiculous, super fun, much better than you'd think from the idea of the concept.
Yeah.
It's great.
But Greg Pak, he
Greg Pak can basically do no wrong.
Exactly.
I think he's kind of a rock star, so
agreed.
So good.
He is not only a funny human being, but an amazing writer.
Yeah.
Was there anything else? You said a couple of
them. Oh, yeah. Black Panther, number 11. I'm also very excited about that.
Great.
Yeah.
Any particular reason?
Just it's a great book, and we've been dealing with a lot of space stuff, so I'm excited to
see. What are the characters in it, Pete?
Okay, so there's this panther.
Yeah.
And he's black. You know? And
Black
then
Panther?
Yep.
Great.
Yeah, and there's other panthers in there as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Ascender number 1 from Image Comics is coming out. This is a sequel to Descender, the series by Jeff Lemire. That was a science fiction series. Ascender is technically a fantasy series. Looks absolutely fantastic. We're going to have a review of it on our Stack podcast that comes out of the Comic Book Club live feed, 9 a.m. Wednesday morning. So check that out, as well as many other reviews there. James, what do you want to plug of yours again?
I guess just I Am Hexed 2 on Kickstarter right now. It's live, guys. It's live. It's happening.
Cool. All right. Very cool. A couple of things we want to plug before we go. As we mentioned, we have this Boys screening on May 2nd. You guys should all come to. Totally free. Free popcorn and soda. You're going to take advantage of that, Pete?
Oh, yeah. It's going to get
weird. And some prizes and trivia. Weird?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I don't want to see that.
Yeah, it's going to get weird, man.
Okay, stay away. Also, we do a Riverdale podcast called Riverdale After Dark that goes up every Wednesday after the show. About to wrap up its season, so that's pretty exciting. Also, we do a Cloak and Dagger podcast called Cloak and Jabber that goes up after every episode of that show. We have an American Gods podcast called American Godcast that we're going to get caught up to at some point. Mm-hmm. What else do you want to plug, Pete?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live. Also, we have a Patreon, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and more. We're on a bunch of different places that you can check out. iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify we're on now. Radio Play, TuneIn, bunch of places. If you don't see an app...
There's that, one that's got Box in the title too, right?
Gasbox?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, there we go. If we are not on an app that you're on, let us know and we will be on it. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank James for being on the show.
Thank you.
Boothman Prime.
Boothman Prime.
But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming out.
You.